Scripture comes to us today from Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 15. You got a tough one today. I did. Starting with verse 15. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then the righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. And last, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 23. Then, turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise."
Like to invite kids to come down. Someone's got to sit on their laps. Any of the brave kids willing to sit on their lap? Are Mary going to do you first? Yes, ma'am.
But I have your sheet from the chapters, so you kids put in 42. So, come on, 42. I got 20, 40, and here's two. So that'll be for you. We will be ending the challenge right there. When Sunday school starts.
You can go right up on this side, Seth. You're tall enough to put it in without any ladder.
Both bowls.
All right.
Go ahead. Dump them all in. There we go.
So this will bring us over 200. This will be what? 142, 203 plus
22,
23. 223.
Amen.
So I want to thank everyone that's participated thus far. And keep on encouraging everyone to bring sheets in. Oh, and I do have one book for, did you want to put your stones in, Debbie? No, okay. So Debbie wrote a book, so we'll put two in for her. So there's a couple more. But the water's rising, everybody. So thank you. Did I remember everything?
I hope so.
Oh, and
did you get their cards? Yeah. Asking me if I good morning. I have to use a story I used before this morning, but it's a true story, and it's not found in the Bible, but it's a true story that a missionary brought back. And if you remember it, maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's a story about a mother. And she and her husband were missionaries, and they had raised their children to be very obedient, very quickly, and that way if something would happen and they said, come here, they immediately would come, or don't do this, they would stop doing it. And that was very important because they lived in the parts of Africa where wild animals were, and there were snakes and different things that were all around. And one day, in the true story, the mother was in the kitchen looking out her kitchen window, and her little boy was over under a tree where they had dug a whole big area up and poured sand in it, so it was like his sandbox, and he was playing in his sandbox. When she looked up in the tree, she saw what's called a black mamba snake coming down the tree. And black mambas don't like kids. Or big people. And you have to be very careful with them. And so she leaned out the window and immediately called his name and said, come here. And he got up right away and he came and did exactly what his mama told him. Now that story had an happy ending, didn't it? Well, our story today doesn't have a happy ending in the sermon. Okay? But it's because rather being smart like that little boy was and listen to his mama, I'm going to make the story different for you, kind of like the story that we're going to read about in the sermon for today, all right? In this story, the mother sees the black mamba coming down the tree, and she shouts out, come here. And he goes, why? Why do I have to come? I'm having fun. Leave me alone. No, you have to come right now. Well, why? There's a black mamba. What's a mamba? And he began arguing with her, and he did not want to let her tell him what to do. You know how that story ended? The mamba bit him, and he died. Now, that's how the story in today is really all about. Jesus sometimes has to work with people that are real. Do you know what stubborn means? Stubborn? Are any of you stubborn? Come on, get them up there so your parents can actually see the confession for the moment here. Me too. We get really stubborn sometimes. And that, a lot of times that's a pretty dumb thing to do, but we do it anyway. And in this particular story, the story ended sad for the little boy, and it ends sad for the man in our story. So you're going to have to listen for it, okay? Because he wanted to argue with Jesus rather than listen. And Jesus was telling him things that he needed to do, and the man thought he was smarter than the Lord. And so that's where the problem came in, okay? Can you remember that for me? I'll try to let you know in the parts of the story. It's actually a story of the Good Samaritan. And I'll explain the hard part too. But thank you. So, you ready? Oh. Today, because it's a vacation day, you take two. And I know, here's the boss. Make sure they can see inside there when they're little. Go ahead. You're welcome. You're welcome. Did you get two? You got two?
Yes, I got two.
Good. You know you can give one away if you want. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome, honey. And John, try not to eat them during church at least. I've read the parable of the Good Samaritan many times, like many of us. And for some reason, it struck me very differently this time, partly because I was studying it in context, partly because of I looked at something, I was reading it in the Greek, and the Greek has a tendency to push out certain thoughts that the English doesn't always push out. And I thought, what a stupid man. Not the Good Samaritan. But a stupid man was arguing with Jesus. And I went, it's easy to point a finger and say, ah, how foolish you are. But in reality, so am I. And how easily we can fall back into the same trap that this particular young man was in. And so I started, or had him start reading for you, where it said that all things have been committed to me. Oh, lost wrong part there. Started the right verse. So you got to get to the right spot. Otherwise, I'm going to blow it here. 23. There it is. He turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Sitting in the fellowship, I've shared it before, are two kinds of people, saved and damned." That's it. Two kinds, saved and damned. And there's only one way for salvation, that's through Jesus Christ. And that's repeated and made clear throughout Scripture. So Jesus turns to his disciples in this particular moment, points out to them how thankful they should be that they're in the category that the Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of, that God has reached into their circumstances and brought them from darkness into light. And they really do get it. Then it goes on from that point, and it says this. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up